are listening to the Cleveland Guardians Fancast, hosted by Quincy Wheeler and friends, a podcast about the Cleveland professional baseball team and its fans.
Welcome to the Guardians Fancast. It's Quincy. I'm here with Mike, Alyssa, and Greg. How you guys doing?
Oh, you know, can't complain. Pretty good all around.
We're up 6-1, so feeling good right now.
Not bad. Although Lively's about to throw his 27th pitch of the inning, so his pitch count's getting up.
That's less than their starter.
I looked away trying to get set up here, and I was like, what the heck? Oh, and now he walked him. That's no good. Well, hopefully.
At least he has run support.
Yes, he's got the Cal Quantrill run support deal.
Duran, Ezekiel Duran is super annoying for the when he plays the Guardians. I feel like
he's a 300 hitter, Quincy.
At least we don't have Robbie Grossman in this game, but Duran's super annoying. He just catches everything and he puts up stinking good at bats. But anyway, let's be positive. The Guardians are ahead, and the Guardians have released their City Connect jerseys. Now, next week, hopefully, we'll have Sarah, who's designed several City Connect jersey possibilities, to talk about it. But just wondered if I could hear from you guys your thoughts about the new jerseys that have been so long awaited.
So I'll hop in to start. I wasn't expecting to like these. I don't like many of the City Connects. And I was pleasantly surprised. I think that they're clean. I think that they are something that could be used as an alternate. I think that they kind of play a nice intermediate space between a throwback of looks that they've used in the past and some sort of connection to the area. I mean, of course, they're focusing on the Guardians of Traffic, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when you rename the whole team for the Guardians of Traffic 3 years before, I think maybe it was reasonable to expect someone to pull something else out of the city, because that is your brand now already. But I think overall the quality, the jersey looks good. I ended up buying a Stephen Kwan City Connect. And I'm really impressed. I think that people will like how they look on camera, and I think that they will look good in person.
Yeah, I'm going to echo what Mike said. My first thought of them was they are very clean, and I like them, because I was scared that I wasn't going to like them. So they came out with these. I was like, okay, let me digest for a minute, because they weren't what I thought they were going to be. I guess I was just so used to, like, what the Cavs are connecting with. And then, like Mike said, like, pretty much our team is a City Connect, like, the name itself. But I do really love the design. I've always wanted, like, the 90s piping on the uniforms, like, the early 90s. So I'm a really big fan of that. I hope we have uniforms in the future that have them. And my favorite part, very biased, is the sandstone. I love the color and I love the texture. And it's not just any sandstone. It is Berea sandstone, or as MLB put it, Burka sandstone. But as someone who goes to BW and talks about the sandstone all the time, I'm a really big fan of that aspect and just how, like, many little details went into it.
Nice. Yeah. I was just going to say, as a Baltimore grad, I agree. Go ahead, Greg.
Oh, well, you know, the funny thing was, the first images that got leaked, you could really only kind of see the front and the hat. And it wasn't until, like, the actual leak that the actual presentation that it was, that I saw the piping, and that really clinched it for me. That was a real, I mean, especially for someone like me who, you know, grew up going to Municipal Stadium and seeing the red and the blue piping was a really that was a really nice sort of nostalgic feel there. So I think, like most of us, I was scared And I was scared that they would be terrible or would have like a guitar on them or something. And then like, you know, with each successive day, I think we're all liking them more and more to the point where we all pretty much think they're fire now.
Thinking about how McNeil posted a picture of one of the jerseys in a team shop and edited a Wahoo patch on the sleeve. There were so many people who thought it was real. It was kind of sad, honestly.
Is this AI? Is this artificial intelligence?
I didn't see that.
I'll have to send it.
Yeah. I mean, I liked them a lot. I can't imagine who would have been the first one to leak some of those images, but man, they should have.
Well, I mean, you didn't do the leaking. You just said, here, guards, know, Twitter.
I just pointed it out. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, who's sharing someone these things to shareable URLs?
Yeah.
My favorite is when it was like, oh, the link no longer exists. And it's like, well, it's already out there.
Yeah. People already had screen recordings of
it. I truly think they were going to release it on Monday. But like, because of leak Saturday, they're like, okay, after Sunday's game, here you go.
Yeah, that makes sense. It does make sense. I the thing that I have decided is that the Cleveland Guardians and the Cleveland Indians both are telling me, stop caring about whether or not the font on the hat matches the font on the jersey, because it essentially never does.
Never. That's maybe a sleeper connect thing from what they've done their entire existence.
There's at least a hat that does match it, but
remember when they had the script eye that matched?
Yeah, but they're not.
Everyone loved the script
eye.
They're
not going to wear the hat. Oh yeah, the script eye matched. Yeah, I was going to say that, Mike. Yeah.
Then you have the people, and like obviously you're entitled to your own opinion on the logos. I love this new one for the City Connect, but there are people who are like, get rid of a flying G. It's like, we just rebranded like not even 3 years ago. It's not going anywhere. Just buy the City Connect stuff then. Like it's okay. The flying G can't hurt you.
I don't understand why people are concerned about it, because what would be great is if they had that as a third logo. There are plenty of teams have three or four different logos that they use. So
I like this one because we don't have the circle one. Like a lot of teams have the circles, and I found like when I'm editing my graphics, like I like to have the circles, but we never had that for ours. So I like having like this option now.
See, I know if I show my kids, my small kids, that Guardians logo, they're gonna ask why he doesn't have any eyes.
Show them Wahoo.
Yeah, right.
That's the wrong kind of eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Which I'll explain that he's a statue, but I do think that the flying G, the wing G, however you want to say it, I do think it is nicer for kids. Like kids understand, oh look, it's a ball with G and wings. I don't know, it's just kind of, it's simple and straightforward, and I like it personally, but I don't have any issue with people that don't like it. But it is weird to be like a super hater of it. I think
the flying G killed my family.
Yes, the flying G did cause violence, but it was also whimsical while it was doing it. And I think ultimately, you're right, Quincy. There are a bunch of logos for multiple teams. Like my favorite Chicago White Sox logo is their worst logo. It's the Sox one with the little dude standing like this. Yeah. And that's an alternate that's bounced around in existence.
Do you know what I hate about them? Like, and I found it while I was like editing a graphic. Well, obviously I already knew this, but I like having like a bit of color in the graphics. They're just black and white. No alternate color. I'd be so mad if one of my teams just no color. Oh, and another thing, I don't know what I said about the City Connects, but some guy in my comments went, I wish they were orange and brown like the Browns. I'm just going to picture any Guardian jersey that is orange and brown.
You should tell him.
Vomited.
You should tell him we're not Pittsburgh. We don't have to have all our teams match. That's good for them, but we don't have to be Pittsburgh, which he should understand as a big Browns fan.
I was at a bar with Sarah the other day, and I was like, can you like do a mock edit of an orange and brown one? She was like, absolutely not.
Never, never, never.
Yeah, well, it'll be fun to see him on the field, and it'll be fun to, get a chance to get our hands on stuff, as I know some of you have. And I don't know. I'm sure I'm going to go to the game on Friday, and I'm sure that the team shop is going to be absolutely full.
Yeah,
So I
I'm
don't
going
know at
there
all.
too. I'm praying, and I'm not a prayer, but I'm praying that it doesn't rain because right now it's not looking good. I manifested the rain away last time. But yeah, like there on the MLB shop, there's not a lot of options. I mean, there's like a good like 50 stuff, but that was a weird wording. There's like 50 things on there. I wasn't the biggest fan. I really love the jerseys. I don't like that the jerseys don't have the piping. Like the Cavs, theirs didn't have like their like outline on it, and I really like those on the jerseys. So I'm hoping at the team store. I'm hoping one, a parlay hits, and then two, like I could find more things there. But
Yeah, one other thing is like the jerseys don't have the piping on them, and they also don't have like the texture that the jerseys have in the navy. And that was one of the nice little touches. I was kind of hoping they'd carry that over into the t-shirt material, but it's probably expensive.
and
But either way.
just a heads up to some people, I know like a couple people I know have found this like link. It looks like Fanatics. And it looks like a $45 Josh Naylor City Connect jersey. Don't buy it. That's not Fanatics. So
No, that
be
is not
careful.
real.
I mean, if you want a good price, talk to Brent, but
Yeah,
not fake
they're
Fanatics.
certainly. That's what I'm waiting for. I can't do, that much money for that much money for the jersey. So it's kind of disappointing to hear that the jersey doesn't have the piping, because that's probably the one I would get.
Yeah, I think the most that I might get is one of those, like, one of the dad hats,
With the
like,
snap adjustables. Oh, the best hat. Dads
that's
have good taste.
and that's still gonna be like $40, so
It
that's
is 40.
crazy. What well, hopefully it'll get us a Josh Naylor extension. I've seen people saying
I saw someone say the amount I'm spending here better go right to Josh Naylor's pocket.
that. I mean, these City Connects have to make somebody a fair amount of money. I'm not sure who, but somebody's making some
The
money.
Dolan campaign.
Yeah, right.
And that's why my money's going to Brent.
We can turn this into a whole different podcast. And I'm glad to go there at some point. All right. Well, so the Guardians themselves. I know I don't have a ton of time today, but any kind of thoughts on the Guardians? Obviously, we all expected the Guardians had a tough series in Chicago against a real tough team, and now they've been able to kind of take a breath and score a bunch of runs against the defending world champs, a much easier series
It's weird
than
we
the
like
White
just
Sox.
talked about that last week. We're like, would you rather face the reigning world champ World Series champs or the Chicago White Sox?
Turns out the whole coughing baby atomic bomb thing, that the coughing baby was tougher than the atomic bomb. So
Did outscore the atomic bombs, but despite
no,
that,
the White Sox are the coughing baby.
it did feel like they were due for a clunker in some ways. I mean, you just don't go through the season without one series that's massively disappointing and makes you
I
feel
mean,
all the bad things.
get it out of the way sooner and do it against a team like the White Sox rather than like a certain upcoming
Oh, but I
series. It
hate
won't
the
directly
White
cost you.
Sox.
Like,
I
no
hate
one's
them.
worried about the tiebreakers with the Chicago White Sox. So I
That they
think
don't
that
matter. Who?
at least
Who?
that is salvageable.
Oh,
Well,
jeez.
and the White Sox, to be fair, they'd gone over 500 since their 3-22 starts, so they've been playing better,
Yeah,
not just against us. So, and the Rangers.
caveat emptor with that. I mean, like you just 3-22.
So,
But yes, they've gotten starters back.
and sometimes baseball happens. I mean, I thought all weekend of the series we had against the Tigers 2 years ago in Detroit when Detroit was terrible and we got swept and we could not have possibly looked worse. And there's Seager.
That is Corey.
See your homer.
What Corey does.
Just try to keep it together here, lively.
Sometimes you throw a sinker up and into a left-handed hitter and it ends poorly.
Mike, what was the comment you made about Lively not that long ago?
Which one? I've had some
That he
words.
like as soon as the baseball's out of his hand.
Oh, he doesn't care what happens. He's gonna throw it, and he's not gonna look at what happened to the ball. Give me the ball, I'm gonna throw more strikes.
It was an interesting strategy with Seager. He threw all of those pitches in like one quadrant of the plate. So the
Yes.
scouting report apparently was throw this guy on the inside upper part of the plate, and he did it all four times. And the fourth time, Seager was like, "All right, well, 109 miles an hour. There you go."
The trick with Corey Seager is that he doesn't have a cold zone, really. So you really do have to mix it up a little bit better than that.
Yeah, well, at least maybe see if he'd chase one. I mean, you don't have to throw, but it's good. I mean, Lively throws strikes with, well, now he's not, but
I was gonna
usually
say
he'll
he's
throw
just all
strikes.
around the
Yeah,
zone right now.
right now he is,
But
but
with
he
Bruce
has been throwing
Streckman,
strikes.
anything could be a strike. Hey, there we go.
Okay. I
Now
mean,
we're commenting on
that
you.
was the work of Austin Hedges training Bo Naylor.
Called strike two, almost hit him in the chest.
Yep, that was a good framing job there.
Kyle Manzardo, first major league hit by pitch today.
If anybody wants to go back and watch the third inning, that's where we're currently talking about. You can see our commentary on everybody. So
Oh,
yeah,
easy out. Okay.
we've seen Bo Naylor hit a nice double today.
And I texted my grandma and I said, Josh, take notes.
And we've seen Josh Naylor hit a homer. So yeah, hopefully things are turning around. It's been nice to see Tyler Freeman taking walks and Jose Ramirez taking walks. I see for the month of May, which admittedly is only about halfway through, Jose is about back to his career rate of walk rate. So that weird 4% walk rate of April, hopefully isn't something that's gonna be a continuing problem for him, and that pretty much solves the issue. I think most of the time he's gonna do damage with pitches when he gets enough opportunities, so that's good.
Speaking of walks, I love that lefties are now intentionally walking David Fry. And I've always loved the intentionally walk Hosey. Okay, well, now you have Josh Naylor. And now it's like, okay, a lefty, if you want to walk Josh Naylor, go for it. But here's David Fry, who should be in the
Yeah.
lineup every day right now, especially with Kwan
Yeah.
out.
He David Fry and a lefty is like money in the bank right now.
Coughing baby atomic bomb.
Yeah, I was surprised to see a lefty walk Josh Naylor until I remember Josh
He can't
Naylor's
hit
actually elite
lefties.
against left-handed pitchers.
He
And
can't hit
then
them.
he faced Will Brennan, and that was a good decision. That was a good matchup. But that was a few days back. And really the team's been hard. They were hard to watch this weekend. Got some mental mistakes. I hope the new threads make them feel rejuvenated and focused on the field when they're back in town, and hopefully a series win here would go a long way to building back your confidence before you go face the Minnesota Twins.
I feel like it'll be really nice for them to have Thursday off. You get
Yes.
done with your series
That's
in
like their
Texas and
first
you get
day
Thursday
off in
off.
like 3 weeks. Like it's
10 days.
been a long
16 days.
time.
16 games in 16 days.
16.
Jeez.
Enjoy
Yeah.
the day off.
That's been a lot. Yeah. Yep. And a day off at home too. I mean, they'll get back late, but they'll have a whole day off at home, which is, I always like to think of my favorite players having a day off at home.
What's with the lack of getaway day times?
I
This
would
is
say
garbage.
it's weird. All three
They have to
games,
play at 8
yeah, all
tomorrow.
three games are at 8. I'm like, when does that happen? And I
And
know
we
I
got
was thinking about
three
the
weeks to go with that.
Orioles Jays,
But
but so.
like last time it happened, it was the Houston series, and they had a 6 o'clock start or a 7 o'clock start, and then they had to play in Cleveland the next night. I mean, it was silly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Like, you
that
got
was
to do better than
apparently.
that.
I don't know if you guys had heard that apparently MLB has a rule that they always have to have a night game. So
But why the team that's playing at home the next
well,
day?
that apparently they were all getaway days, and that was the game that was farthest west. I'm not saying that that's really fair, but I heard that was the reasoning.
Maybe that's why we got Dreckman today.
And also the one now. Now this one, I guess, is not a getaway day technically because they have a day off the next day, but Sure would be nice if they treat it like a getaway day, but I'm assuming that Texas is probably in town for an extended homestand, so they don't need to have an afternoon game. And you lose money. That's the key, guys. You lose money if you have an earlier afternoon game.
It is
And
all about the money,
we cannot
always.
afford to have the billionaires lose money to make the players' lives easier. So get over it.
Especially if those players play for Cleveland.
Yes, right. And they play for the opposite team. Who cares?
The Guardians will no longer have a day game. It's always in the evening now. Take it or leave it. We need the money.
So, obviously, there's no like huge rush to bring George Valera up, who hit a three-run homer today. But
Neiman.
tell me what you think about this. Obviously, there's still guys that they need to look at in the outfield, and really, you want to replace Ramon Laureano with a right-hand hitter. You probably don't want to build the whole team out of left-handers as they seem to be trying to do. I'm fine with it, Mike. I'm fine with it, but I'm just assuming they probably want a right-hander in that spot. So if you don't take him out of the lineup, then I mean, if you don't take Laureano out of the lineup without putting a right-handed bat in, then Valera can only get on the lineup if you're sending down Brennan or something. But here's the thing. Am I wrong in thinking if Valera is healthy and hitting well, it might be good to kind of take a look at him in the majors while he's
No,
healthy?
I think that's exactly right. And ultimately his skill set overlaps a lot with what Estevan Florial is giving you. He to me feels like the logical push out. Like you have a longer term of control for George Valera, and you can have a longer leash with him as a result. Now, Florial, to his credit, he's done nothing wrong. I like him. I think he's good. But he strikes out a lot. But that's okay because he does fun and entertaining things.
What did
Like,
I say the other day? Like he'll have good at bats, but every once in a while he's giving SpongeBob at the plate.
yeah, I mean, he doesn't chase like that. And no one
Right, it's
really
not as
chases
bad,
like that because only there can only be one Highlander. But like he really he can't hit in the zone a lot. He's Gabby Arias syndrome. And that's
Yes,
probably
Bob.
not fixable. At
Sorry, go
least
ahead.
I haven't seen it fixed for someone like outside of Austin Riley, who's kind of really good at baseball. And his issue was a pitch out of the zone, particularly. So yeah, I
Ahmed
mean,
Rosario down and away slider in the
that
other
was the
batter's
Austin Riley
box.
pitch that it took him forever to learn how to not swing at.
Mike, have you? I got confused. You're talking about Florial, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about
Yeah,
Florial.
right,
And
yeah.
yeah, but the
I
thing is,
was.
there's so many guys who don't hit
Well,
that pitch.
the reason that I ask is that I don't know if you've seen the metrics that show that Valera also has some end zone issues.
Yeah, he has
His
some end zone issues, but
not
like
as
I'm
bad.
watching Florial swing through like 60, what is it? He's at like a 60 something end zone contact, and Valera is in the 70s.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
right.
not good, but it's not bad.
Yes, right. Correct. Yes, it's definitely improved. I just think it's funny that like all these guys that are kind of exciting in some ways have this I guess you probably an old term would be like a grooved swing. I think that's kind of what
Yeah.
people talk about it as. There's a little bit of a hole there and guys can exploit it if they find it. Well, that's kind of what I feel about it. I know there's a lot of Schneeman love out there, and how can you
I
not like
like
Daniel
him.
Schneeman, but I'm not sure that it's necessarily a priority to get him up right away.
No.
And
Don't tell Nicole that.
I'm
Well, no,
sorry,
it's not that
Nicole.
it shouldn't be a priority. It's that he's the type of guy who I would frankly trust to be able to take at bats twice a week. Like the kind of guy that you can add to your 40 man in the middle of July and have him come up for 10 to 15 days. And oh, all of a sudden he's been here for 2 months. And he's starting three or four games instead of one or two. Like, I don't think that he's a
Prior
guy that
last
needs
year.
to have priority focus to become valuable to your team.
I think it'll also be interesting to see, and this will be like later in the season, what happens at shortstop. Because I think obviously the favorite is Rocchio, and he's getting a lot of chances. But I feel like long term, we want Juan Brito up here. But trying to delay him moving over for as long as possible, it's not.
You don't want Juan Brito at shortstop.
Oh, no, I mean like having him come up to play second and moving Hemmy at
Yeah.
short. So I'm saying they're trying to
Okay.
delay having to move Pimmy back to shortstop.
Yeah.
And it just did perplexes me because right now I think Rocchio would probably be an above average second baseman. And certainly Andrés Giménez would probably be an above average shortstop. Does that even out with the defensive run save that Giménez has at second base? I don't
know. My only conclusion is that they must really be buying into the like 2 year trend that second base has seen more balls hit to it than the shortstop throughout the league.
Yes.
So
that's what I was about to say.
I think that's
and it's disproportionate for Cleveland because Giménez gets to everything.
Yeah.
If we could just have really two of them.
I feel like this is kind of a Machado situation where Machado was one of the best defensive third basemen we've ever seen for several years. And then they put him in shortstop and he was a good shortstop. He was fine, but he wasn't like, and I think Kime would be, I mean, maybe he would be Andrelton Simmons or something like that. And as a shortstop, but it's kind of like Kwan. I'm hesitant to do the thing where it's like, we've got him. We know he's absolutely the best in baseball at his position. What are we losing when we do that? I'm hesitant.
Just think about how we learned that Hemi actually grew up a catcher and was a left-handed thrower, and he taught himself to throw right and didn't want anybody to know that he was a catcher.
It's like when a kid gets into kindergarten and can already read and he's like embarrassed.
What a good comparison. All right, well, guys, I've reached my ending point tonight, so hope you enjoy the rest of the game. Hope nobody strikes out with runners on first and second, and then next one hits into a double play for the rest of the game. But hey, they've got a lead, so hopefully they hold on to it and can get a series win here in Texas. So thanks, guys.
Great. Thanks, Quincy.
Ready for the City Canucks.
Later.
This has been the Cleveland Guardians Fancast. You can find us on any major podcast platform. Please remember to like, subscribe, download, rate, and review. Thank you for listening.